Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I suddenly no longer crave spaghetti ever for the rest of my life. Thanks a lot, Rick and Morty. And with me, I have...
I will offer you an egg in this trying time, along with a cheer wine and a Bojangles three-piece.
And...
Reminded the self, when pitching this Decibel Boost movie, do not go to Warner Brothers. And also you're thinking, but wait guys, anything 2 weeks of placeover, should you be happy? Yeah, except one thing, you find out much worse shit to happen.
At least. Everything's terrible. This is the real world. We still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Like this that makes people develop alcohol addictions.
Yeah. Here's the whole coyote disaster thing going on, and of course everybody's saying, if you're doing another movie, yeah, don't go to them because they might just cancel your shit. Sound about the tax write-off was bullshit.
So Space Jam: A New Legacy was acceptable, but Wile E. Coyote suing the Acme Corporation just apparently was a no-go. I would have watched it.
You know it's bad when Rick and Morty is biting the hand with some of its jokes in regards to the sheer idiocy going on in Hollywood.
Yeah. Like we're Warner Brothers, you can greenlit Tom and Jerry the movie, but you can't greenlit Wacko's suing Acme. That seems something that's actually, you know, interesting.
Gotta respect the Rick and Morty crew not giving a fuck about biting the hand that feeds. Kind of like all the times on Last Week Tonight when John Oliver talks shit about AT&T.
Ooh.
But anyway, here we are, episode 330. So, how's the last couple of weeks been going?
Not all that eventful. Halloween came and went. Thanksgiving is upon us. I'm very excited about that. And have I done anything lately? Not really. The only thing I've done is, I got the word that there is a new Porcupine Tree live album coming out next month. They recorded it back in November of last year, I think, in Amsterdam. I saw the first video of it. Looks pretty cool. I decided, you know what? I'm going to buy that album. I'm going to see where I can get it. So, naturally, my annoyance picked up when I realized they don't have any valid options for U.S. shipping because everything is shipped out of the U.K., This poses a problem because ever since a certain idiot decided, hey, we can leave the European Union for the benefit of someone, import prices to get stuff out of the UK have been very expensive, like more so than they usually are. Used to be a very small flat fee. No big deal. Now it is very, very extortionate. So this version that I'm getting, because there are multiple, you know, versions, the one I wanted went out of stock momentarily. So I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this other version. And sure enough, I found it. It's a vinyl and DVD and Blu-ray bundle, which is what they do because artists got to make money. And I see it. And, okay, I will order it. The fucking shipping costs is what killed me on it. So, this was not cheap, by any means. I think I paid £87 for it, which I think translates to about $100. Converted to U.S. dollars, the shipping, $41.
Good lord.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun in the slightest. and I don't have any other options because there are no U.S. options available, so I have to import it from the U.K. Not fun, guys. Not fun at all, but I ordered it. It's on layaway. It'll hopefully be here by Christmas. Woo! I don't like buying stuff at that high of a price because there are no options available over here. I just don't! Give me options, damn it. I deserve it. I've been a good boy this year.
Ugh. The trials and tribulations of being a Porcupine Tree fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, the past couple of weeks, mostly just been watching a bunch of movies. Especially some of Halloween. I will say this one big movie that I saw, but if not the one, I saw this one that people talk about, Dawn Will Save You. It's pretty good. That was just interesting. There's also Five Nights at Freddy's. That was the thing. Which, I don't know what to say, but it's for the fans. Okay. Alright. And you like this shit? Alright.
Okay, so, a funny story about that. I live in a house where, my three other roommates are, obsessives for that franchise. I'm the odd one out. I did, just out of curiosity, end up going to see the movie with them. Honestly, I was expecting worse. Not my favorite thing in the world, but,
Wait, hold up. You saw it in theaters or at Peacock?
Theaters.
Oh, I thought it was Peacock. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna. Yeah, it was Peacock. It's fucking, why not? Also, they also shit cost like $2 per month. So, fuck it, why not? Yeah. That's about it. That's what I got. That's right. One more thing. Got the medal debt paid off now.
Cool.
Yay.
All right.
I'm done now.
All right. As for me, well, I'm trying to think. So, I finally beat Spider-Man Miles Morales. Excellent time all around. Means I can finally move on to Spider-Man 2 eventually. What else? I finished watching the iCarly revival, and man, they really did end off on that fucking cliffhanger.
Yeah, they did. Wow.
Yeah, that is... I'm not sure that's unfortunate, because like, I'm still trying to figure out why this revival even existed in the first place.
I don't know.
It exists because 2000s nostalgia is a thing.
I'm trying to think. There was something else. Speaking of 2000s nostalgia, I realize I'm technically about a decade and a half, 2 decades late on this, but I finally bit the bullet and started watching a little series called Black Butler.
Why?
Listen, I have an open mind about some things. Sometimes. And I mean, so far, it's not like bad or anything. There are some stuff I find interesting. Not sure how I feel about Grell Sutcliffe. Although props for the chainsaw scythe. That is objectively very cool. Because again, I don't know if you know this, but I do like chainsaws and things.
Yeah, get back to us when you get deep into season 2. That's when the uh-ohs are going to come out.
Yeah, see, I'm curious about that, because I have a couple of roommates who are super into Black Butler, like, back in the day, and one of them said that, like, they literally only liked it because of season 2, which was the good one. Wait, whatever that
season
means.
Season 2? the good one? How many people say that was the bad one?
Listen. I was there at the height of it. I was there at the height of the online Tumblr fandom. Be careful. Just watch your step.
Listen, I will keep that in mind. It's just that, like, I don't know. I don't necessarily mind watching it just because I'm at a point where I'm, like, so disconnected from the peak of the fandom BS. It's kind of the same thing with, like, me finally starting to watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood last year. You know, because I'm finally away from the peak of the everyone complaining over fucking My Anime List rankings, and I can just, like, enjoy the show as I go. Is there anything else? Anybody see that Garfield trailer? Why did they make a cute baby Garfield? That should be illegal.
Because everything has to be an origin story. Otherwise, all the kids in the audience won't know what's going on because kids are stupid, according to Hollywood.
I mean, to be fair, from the look of it, I think that's just like an intro gag. I'm not sure that's like the whole story.
Okay, and we're seeing some objective, something that as a Garfield-like cat or big-ass cat, or I don't know. Although I'm ready, can't say motherfucker on there, so yeah.
Sadly, I don't think the movie's PG-13. There's an idea, PG-13. Wait, but the Bill Murray one's PG-13? I don't fucking remember.
I think it was just PG.
Anyway, no.
Tragic. Anyway, that's the bad enough of that, I suppose. So now we move on from those intro formalities to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description. You can follow along with us. Mark, you know, pick up some new tunes. Mark your calendars for any new albums, etc., etc. And for the first track here, it is Griselda O'Clock. Once again, it seems. That clock never stops.
Oh, yes. This time you got Little B the Butcher. Who, yeah, his album's only came out yet. The one big Def Jam debut, which ain't happened yet, because I don't know. But we did this one track, which might be on there, and with a feature, and Luke's producing it. Another clock is Alchemist O'Clock as well. Alright, and the track is called Big Dog, and it features... it features Lil Wayne. I'd be shocked, but I'm not. Because
I kind of am, like... I gotta be honest, the fact that Lil Wayne is still cranking out tunes and projects is really weird to me, like... I don't know, I get the sense that at this point, shouldn't rap culture as a whole just look at this dude and be like, heh, okay, boomer, and then move on to newer shit?
I mean, I feel not surprised because I know, like, I think Wayne appeared on the Being a Butcher track before, at least on one album he did with Hit Boy, I believe. So I'm not surprised by that. And him by Alchemist Beats, again, I'm not surprised by that too, considering he had him producing, he has stuff on his first dedication mixtape, and he did a song on the Carter 3.
God, how long ago was that?
Okay, well, say around, like, what, the 2009 or some shit? It was a long ass time ago.
God damn.
Anyway, the song Big Dog. You get this very mentioned Alchemist beat, which was good as mess. Alright, I guess I'll say for the verses, being the Butcher was good, I mean, always outstanding on the mic. Let me see here. And I'm looking at Lil Wayne's verse, and I gotta say, there's some interesting bars here, like, Big Dog, some big husky flow. I've been a big dog since a puppy. My kennel is a bungalow. You can walk the dog. I still run this hole. Let's see. Fuck money. I throw bread like I'm Duck Hunt bitches on me. Like fleas. I don't need bugs. Bunny. Tucci in the Butcher. I'll shoot you. You'll keep the minute on the blue cadets. The Uzi with the slusher. I mean, okay. I mean, there's some, you know, some dog puns and shit in there, which, okay. I mean, okay. At least it's working on there. Like, I know people want to say, like, oh, Wayne killed this verse. I'm not gonna say that like it's not trash, but it's not trash, but it's decent. That's what I can say for that.
I mean, I don't know. There's this one line in there that I just like. I just had to glare at the screen when I heard it. The line, "Your female dog suck my cock or spaniel."
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, okay.
That one was just bad.
Yeah, that one's just.
Not gonna lie, I take particular offense to that one because I used to own a cocker spaniel. Her name was Wanda. And she was very adorable. I miss her sometimes. Like, God, that was a bad joke, man.
Yeah. Brother song, the song's still pretty good. The rest of the song is so fucking like, you got a good beat, you got a good beat, but they're still doing this thing. Wayne gets the fuck, I don't know, I'm going to say that. A five, I mean, you had a white five, fuck it, I don't know, they had some things going there, but I know people gonna say, "Oh, but whatever." It's the bit, like, look, he is not J. Cole on Johnny P's Caddy. Even some of y'all don't like that verse, that feature that much.
Basically, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. It was just meh.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, so. Looks like we have another taste of the upcoming collaboration project between Grindcore Act Full of Hell and Shoegaze Act Nothing. When No Birds Sang, still due out December 1st. This new single is titled Like Stars in the Firmament, and this one is pretty much pure nothing all the way through. By which I mean the band, of course, not like nothing in a derogatory sense, although I guess that depends on your taste in this. Like, okay, it's pretty much this very quietly melancholic sense of melody in the guitars and the chord progressions that, combined with like the visuals of the music, kind of have like that bittersweet sense of nostalgia and days past and all that. And it pretty much just like repeats like this subtle melody and those very like moaning vocals all throughout, only slightly building on like additional layers of guitar chords and melodies for like the back half or so. Very little Full of Hell on this, so make of that what you will.
Yeah, so here, from, as the cool kids like to say, Full of Nothing, the shoegaze is strong here, both in the tone of the music and the feel of the music video. It's very Dead Mall series meets September 11th in a strange roundabout way.
Hmm. Fair enough. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Hey, look at that. It's a new Tierra Wax single. When was the last time we talked about her? Feels like it's been a hot minute, at least.
I think it's been like a while. These Garda singles. Because it's been a hot while since she did something. Okay, anyway, she had this new track called Chanel Pit. We got this weird Adult Swim mask album, really art cover or cover art. I mean, it should look like Adult Swim, also Adult Swim shit, at least. I don't know. Okay. I will say it's like, well, if you've not heard it, you know, like, he's like, it's got this very like twinkly playhouse type of shit going on, like kind of like, you know, like kind of weird as fuck, kind of weird as fuck, but it fits with her motif. It's like, okay, it's like basically some shit people quite would do, but she did it better. Honestly, I think some shit that what's her face, Cole Ray would do, but she does it better, at least in my opinion. You got some weird ass doing as well as like. I don't play for well. I don't have to show you my tail what the shit I smell. I'm that shit you smell. Okay. Since they turn this whole into Resident Evil, rocking release some needles. And this is very playful, very playful, like I said, basically like what I heard from Tierra Whack in the past.
Yep. Definitely sounds like that Tierra Whack sound to a T, especially with the weird xylophone thing happening in the beat. Not much else to add, so let's move on to the next track here. One that I feel might have benefited, or I rather should I say does benefit from the fact that we had to take a week off, because there were additional developments. So,
yeah.
A while back, we talked about Megan Thee Stallion parting ways with her record label after a whole lot of legal BS. And now, she has in fact released her first single as a free artist, so to speak. The track we get here is called Cobra. And, first off, the beat is pretty cool on this one. It's got, like, that kind of intense, like, contemporary trap beat, bolstered by a mix of this kind of synth flute melody going over top, and these, very prominent, like, chugged guitar chords going on. While, the lyrics see Megan venting about a lot of personal shit, sort of in and out, mixed with her usual rap braggadocio, you know, like, feelings of anxiety and depression, missing her parents, having to deal with the fact that it felt like the entire world was, looking to profit from her downfall and personal misery, fuck you, Tori,
yeah.
And fuck you, Los Pollos TV, while we're at it.
Oh, and, also the fact that, her ex cheated on, ex because her ex cheated on her. Apparently.
That happened. Yeah, just a whole lot of fuck shit going on.
Yeah, just bit, like, you know, dribbled it out, and of course with that you get the visual of, you know, maybe a cobra shedding its skin, which of course you see Megan come out of cobra, but naked. Yes, that happens.
Yes.
And also, the imagery of, you know, basically, you know, shedding skin, basically, you know, without all that shit, without makeup, you feel like, yeah, she's basically saying, like, oh, this shit happened to me, y'all, do y'all really give a fuck about me? Are you playing my downfall or some shit? Maybe before. Which, this piece of depressed, I'm under stress, pick nails on his neck. Anything domestic? Yeah.
So, yeah. Pretty intense, pretty hard. Pretty much kind of a banger. Especially that cool guitar shit. Like, not gonna lie, low-key, it almost kind of makes it sound like it could be a Rico Nasty instrumental, too. But, you know, when you hear something good like that, you almost just have to sit there and think, could it be better, though? Could we possibly amp this shit up to more intense levels?
Well,
enter Spirit Box.
Yeah, this is a strange combination, but not an unwelcome one. It's, in fact, very welcomed.
So, yeah, we gave it a few days, and surprisingly, there was a officially sanctioned Spirit Box remix of the track. Seriously, I'm sitting here trying to wonder who the hell got these two in the same room together to be like, okay, let's get this shit going, lay down some really sick, huge, chugging metalcore riffs, those big-ass drum grooves, alongside all that good Courtney LaPlante singing and screams. It pretty much sounds exactly like what you would expect from having, like, the Spirit Box sound playing behind Megan Thee Stallion's bars.
Yeah. So, yeah, the song is pretty lyrically raw and in-depth as it is. Then we get a freaking Spirit Box feature remix collab with Courtney showing up to add some harsh vocals to those bars. And this shouldn't work on paper, but it absolutely does. And yes, this does include Courtney LaPlante doing some extremely harsh bars on the chorus. And it's wonderful.
A+.
Yeah,
look up
good.
The lyrics on your own, kids.
And now, moving on to the next track here. So, I remember back around early days of high school and everything, when The Hunger Games was one of the big novel series in town. I owned and read the entire original trilogy. I think it was required summer reading for the first book at least, but I thought it was interesting enough at the time to go through the whole thing. And, yeah, this was back in the magical day when my attention span let me read full novels instead of needing everything to be in the form of a manga or something for me to engage with it. What the hell happened, Rob? What the hell happened? But apparently, the Hunger Games is still around, as in, there was a whole-ass prequel novel that came out right at the start of the pandemic called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which has been adapted into a feature film that is coming out this Friday. Really weird. Because everything's gotta have a prequel, I guess. So, worth bringing this up because there was a soundtrack piece for the movie that was released called Can't Catch Me Now, performed by, I guess fittingly enough, Olivia Rodrigo. And as expected, it sounds pretty much exactly like a movie soundtrack piece by Olivia Rodrigo. It's this sweeping acoustic ballad where the lyrics are very heavily driven by the desire for vengeance, kind of singing about herself as this sort of inescapable force of nature constantly surrounding whoever it is she's trying to get to. I'm going to go ahead and assume an ex-lover that she wants to make sure gets got. And it is definitely one of the songs of all time. I don't know what else.
Yeah. To me, this sounds like, well, basically what I heard from the first Hunger Games, at least in terms of music soundtrack-wise. In other words, it's more of the first or second movie, less of what you got from the one soundtrack that was created by Lord. Yeah, remember that one?
I do not.
I listened to this, and it was just in one ear, out the other. So, congrats, Olivia. You have finally checked your movie credits feature song card. You are now officially a pop star. Even though the song is kind of but you know, the harmony vocal choir in the chorus is a nice touch. Kind of just feels like whoever was in charge of the song just looked at what Billie Eilish did for the Barbie movie and went, okay, that's the song we're going to write. Even if it's just very,
This is more like early Taylor Swift type of shit.
It's gonna play in the credits while everybody's walking out because they're done with the movie, and again, in one ear, out the other.
Anyway, yeah. Moving on to the next track here. So at this point, it's been about 3 years or so, I think, since Dua Lipa dropped the album Future Nostalgia, which probably means we're due for a new album sooner rather than later, of which there have been rumblings of that in the pipeline. Probably best signaled by the fact that we have a brand new single from her to contend with here called Houdini. Now, stylistically speaking, the music here feels like it's the natural, like, extension of the Future Nostalgia style, with that sort of throwback new disco electro pop funk thing going on. The grooving bass, the tight drum rhythms, the layers of synth chords and keyboard melodies with a lot of those like syncopated chords and everything. As a pop instrumental, it's pretty solid overall. I can't complain too much. The lyrics are kind of pretty standard, you know. It's pretty much her singing about how this guy she's talking to really needs to, like, impress her, or she's basically gonna, you know, disappear and escape like Houdini. So, yeah, I mean, it's alright.
Now, I don't know, and I can't say with certainty if there are samples on here. At least samples that, you know, I can, you know, confirm. But this track is very 80s synth pop, and there's a lot of synth chords here that sound a lot like the intro to Van Halen's I'll Wait from the 1984 album. Same key, same progression. I can't say it's a sample. I can't say it's an interpolation. I don't know. Along with the rest of this track from, like, in 80s Madonna track, which I'm not against. This is a pretty all right club jam song. Nothing too fancy, nothing too intense. But why is the guy from Tame Impala involved with writing this song?
Because I don't know. I guess he's got checks he needs to collect or something.
At first I know who it is. Yeah, it's like something that I would expect from the Tame Impala guy to do. That, well, him and Danny L. Harley, which, you remember, yeah, by the way, you remember who it is? He's the one that produced the whole, produced the album, produced for Caroline Polachek, This track is, it's pretty alright. Like, it is, like, on scale, very, like, I want to say more dancey disco, or maybe not disco, but sort of, I don't know, more disco-ish sort of tracks like the dude usually does. Like, it's all right.
And now, for the last track we have to discuss here, and arguably one of the most notable as far as the broader music headlines. And now, for the first and only time in the history of this podcast, we will be discussing a newly released song by, and let me check my notes here, The Beatles. Yep, The Beatles. You know, That one band, they were around in like the 60s. They kind of did a lot of albums, apparently highly regarded, low-key changing the entire face of music. People never stopped talking about them. You know, that band you might have heard of. They did some things.
One or two things, yeah.
So, let me try to get everyone caught up as best I can. So, there is this track that had been put out in the past couple of weeks called Now and Then. Said song originally started life as a solo piano demo recorded by John Lennon sometime around the 70s, but never got completed before his death in 1980. Now, of course, in the years following, the band had a couple of reunion singles of sorts released, I think sometime in the mid-90s as part of the, quote, Beatles Anthology Project.
I have some added context for that. Those were traced back to John Lennon demos that were never finished. Two of the songs were finished in the mid-90s. This is the third song that was not finished until just recently.
Yeah, this one was pretty much just shelved in kind of limbo for the next three decades, pretty much up to the point where George Harrison died as well. And eventually the surviving members, you know, Paul and Ringo, helped complete the track and release a full version. Now, for me at least, there is a rather notable elephant in the room with how the song was put together, but I'm going to get to that when I get to that, so let's talk about the actual song first before that. So, this song, I realize the idea of a new Beatles song is kind of a big event thing, but I'm not really sure what else to say other than it kind of feels like pretty much what you'd expect from sort of like back half later period Beatles. Like this kind of old school rock ballad that blends together that sort of typical rock instrumentation with strings and a lot of those multi-layered vocal melodies, with the lyrics pretty much being this very apologetic kind of love song in the vein of the kind that Lennon wrote a lot of back around those times. Again, from my perspective at least, like, if you're a Beatles fan, it's fine, but it's not super surprising. Now, for the aforementioned elephant in the room, like we said, this originally started as, like, a solo demo with vocals from John Lennon that, was shelved for, like, decades. And if you're wondering how they actually, like, were able to complete the song, a major part of the process was that, and I'm maybe oversimplifying a bit here, they had extracted the vocals from those old demos and incorporating into this final release through the use of this machine-assisted learning/audio restoration technology initially commissioned for the Peter Jackson documentary, The Beatles Get Back. And trying to read and look into it, it was this sinking feeling, because, yeah, it's It's AI.
Okay. Now, to be fair.
Oh, geez.
Not all AI.
Fucking.
Watch Letterkenny, goddammit. But yeah. Okay. I know there's a lot of AI stuff we all don't like. This is not that. This was apparently used to extract a lot of noise and tape hiss just to clean it up. That you can do with any kind of DAW plugins. Like, digital music production now compared to like 20 years ago is like night and day. That is a good thing that can be done, you know, properly. Rest of the video, however, that's a different story altogether.
Yeah, so like, even if we accepted the premise that there's something of a gray area as far as like image enhancement or digital audio restoration, like I believe you've spoken before in the past that you kind of have like a AI image enhancement thing that you use for podcast O&A thumbnails.
Yes, it's called Waifu 2X. It upscales images that I use to make all the thumbnails look not crap.
Right, so even if we accept that gray area, am I at least justified in saying that the video having these goofy-ass looking AI deepfakes of the band in their peak years, making dumb faces and goofing off in the background is fucking stupid and cringe as hell? Can I at least say that much?
That's not great. It's a weird mix of deepfake shots and chroma keying, because I could tell there was some artifacting going on. It's just... Come on, Peter Jackson. Why did you have to tell Paul McCartney about that?
Good Lord, man.
This is basically a late era Beatles song. There's not much to say if you know what's on Revolver and Abbey Road and Let It Be and, you know, all those other, you know, late era stuff. It is neat in a mechanical production sense that we have a demo from 1970, guitar tracks from 1995, and recent recordings from 2022, 23, whenever, all mixed together to create a full song. On a mechanical basis, that's interesting. In terms of what this could mean going forward, that's a different story altogether. We'll let someone else talk about it. End of the day, this is just a late-era Beatles song. If you've heard one, you've heard them all.
Pretty much, yeah. Now, that pretty much does it for the news song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news topic, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have two news topics to discuss here. First of which is a good old-fashioned festival lineup. And looks like it once again comes for the camp of Danny Wimmer Presents at Daytona International Speedway. Welcome to Rockville, taking place May 9th through the 12th, 2024 at Daytona Beach, Florida. So we got 4 days here. I'm gonna just go ahead and start things off here, with the first day's lineup for Thursday, May 9th. Some of your big headliners, or at least your big acts, like all the way at the top, are, Motley Crue. Are they still touring? I thought they retired.
Not when there's money to be earned, because nostalgia.
Good Lord. Anyway, there's also Judas Priest, Anthrax, Dirty Honey, Amigo the Devil, Cold, and Point North. I'm not entirely sure how they're making these divisions, but alright. Then in the next tier below, there's Disturbed, Mudvayne, Skillet, Flyleaf with Lacey Sturm,
Double
Skindred, saliva.
Oh, that band. I have to do the customary click, click, boom.
And...
still hilarious.
Ah, it sure is. And orgy. Then tier below that, there's Machine Head of Mice and Men, Biohazard, Lacuna Coil, Stabbing Westward. How the fuck are they still around?
People love Save Yourself. What can I say?
Gideon. I've listened to them before. Throne and Fuming Mouth. Then the tier beneath that, we have Kerry King. Yeah, I heard
he's got a solo band.
I'm not shocked. August Burns Red. Fucking All That Remains. Get the fuck out of here with that shit, man. Aren't we all too busy laughing at Phil Labonte for being stupid about everything? Soulfly. Gate Creeper. Spite and Body Snatcher. Then at the tier below that, at the very bottom for Thursday, we have Insane Clown Posse.
Hands like this! Hands like this! Hands like this!
Fuck the police and the 502. Apocalyptica, Miss May I, The Word Alive, Imminence, Fleshwater, Moon Fever, and TX2. Whatever the fuck that is. Alex, you want to take over for the Friday lineup?
Yeah, okay. So, starting on Friday, we have Limp Bizkit.
Oh!
Because Florida.
Goddamn.
And we have Falling in Reverse.
Timing!
Fucking
yeah, right. Luke did a Regretting the Past on them. How deserving. Fucking scumbag. And there is In This Moment, for the five In This Moment fans out there. Star Set. Terrible New Metal Band number 2, Nonpoint.
Ugh.
There will be more. Flat Black. And Power Man 5000. Sure. We have Jelly Roll. The Offspring. They're still around doing shows. Koi Wetzel. Is that how you say it?
I don't fucking know. I've never heard of them until now.
Yeah. All right. Living Color. Yeah, they're still doing shows. Kim Dracula. I got excited for a moment and I realized it was a different band. Sleep Theory.
Oh, man.
And here to shill the song Movies for the 57th time, Alien Ant Farm.
And just like the movies.
It's never going to be a hit. Give it up. All right, moving on. We have, look at this, Mr. Bungle.
Woo!
I don't know if it's going to be Death Metal Mr. Bungle or weird mid-90s Mr. Bungle. Maybe both. I don't know. We have Electric Callboy, Nitzer Ebb, Polaris, Kid Capshi, Catch Your Breath, Low Spirit, and Kill the Robot. Sure.
Man, what the robot ever do to anyone?
Yeah. Then we have In Flames, Slaughter to Prevail, Kitty, Mushroom Head.
Fucking seriously?
MySpace Core is still a thing with New Year's Day. It's been around since 2005. I don't get it. Icy Stars and Dieglish.
Oh, you have got to be fucking shitting me. Icy Stars?
Yeah, apparently they're still doing stuff too.
We're fucking still letting Brian Stars make music? What the fuck?
All right, and well, we also have here Tech Nine, or as the cool kids say, Tech Nine! That's how he says it. You gotta do it with the inflection. The Amity Affliction, Currents, Kublai Khan, Texas, Harm's Way, Rain City Drive, and Citizen Soldier.
Those are bands that names. I think exist.
Those are names.
Yep. It is an assortment of musical acts joined together for a festival. And we're only halfway done here. Like, Danny Wimmer, what are you doing?
Ugh. Gotta get as much money as they can, I guess.
Ugh.
So, anyway, I'll tag back in for the Saturday lineup. Starting right up at the top, we have Foo Fighters. All right, respectable choice. Greta Van Fleet. Primus. Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen. Rainwolf. Jenny Beth from the band Savages. And Nova Twins.
Jenny Beth, not to be confused with Johnny Booth. They look similar.
Right, right. Then moving on to the next tier, we have Queens of the Stone Age. A Day to Remember.
Sure.
Stone Temple Pilots? I thought they broke up already.
Let me take a look.
Because I know they had a couple members die on them.
I don't know. They're still touring, I guess.
Okay, then. Moving on. There's Royal Blood, The Struts, Taipei Houston, and Destroy Boys. Okay, moving on to the tier below that. There's Cypress Hill, L7.
That's the third hip-hop base of...
Who is in
the rock festival.
As far as we know, it's the last one, though, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's see. L7, Helmet, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, Fire from the Gods, Head P.
Terrible new metal band number 3.
Calva Luis, Vukovi, and Hotbox. Then to the tier below that. At the top, we got Clutch. But will they play the song where the lyrics are just a crab cake recipe? Baroness, All Them Witches, Red Fang, Austin Mead, Crobot, and Tim Montana. So I assume this is the part of the set where y'all just get really blazed and then let yourself enjoy the tunes.
And now for terrible new metal band number 4.
Oh, come on. How much more worse could it get? Oh, God damn it! Fuck me! Fucking Code Orange, of course. I did this to myself. I should have double-checked the list order before I decided to go first. God damn it. Anyway, moving on from that, there's Drain. Terror, Stick to Your Guns, Scowl, The Chisel, Bad Nerves. Anyway, that just leaves Alex to take care of the last list for Sunday.
Yeah, and your Sunday headliner for Welcome to Rockville 2024 is Slip. Not. We'll come back to you in a moment.
Stick a pin in that for later.
Yeah. Okay. And then we also have Breaking Benjamin, Architects, Wage War, POD, terrible new metal band number 5, Taproots.
Wait. You don't count POD as a terrible new metal band?
No, I do. I just count them as a terrible Christian band.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a separate counting gag.
Okay, I'm about to name this. I'm about to have their logo. I don't know, a little bit big anymore, but I mean, probably not, but I don't know.
Yeah. They were big in 2001, but anyway, moving on. We have also terrible new metal band number 6, Edema. All right. We also have here Evanescence, Bad Omens, Theory, of a dead man.
Ugh.
They did not learn their lesson from their last two god-awful albums. Sebastian Bach. Drowning Pool.
They're still around.
Still around. Nita Strauss and Trust Company. We have Sum 41 on their final touring year, from what I understand. Atreyu, The Chat, Magnolia Park, Bob Vylon, that's how it's spelled, Military Gun, Gel, and Strati Jacket. If you want me to say it right, learn to spell, band. Yeah, and we also have Black Veil Brides.
Yeah.
And we also have Movements, Enter Shikari, Sim.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Dead Poets Society, Plush, and Return to Dust. And we close out with Polyphia, The Ghost Inside, Shadows Fall, the Dino Caceres Project, a.k.a. Fear Factory in quotation marks, Ava Under Fire, Blind Channel, Another Day Dawns, and Afterlife, and more to be announced in 2024.
More?
Why is Dandy Wimber trying to make his own version of Hellfest?
You know, more does not make all of this better.
Like, there's a reason why Hellfest is 8 days. You gotta have some breathing room here.
Yeah, otherwise you're just like... Like, this is literally just filling space to say you can fill space.
God, if you want to cram as many bands as you can, just do what When We Were Young are doing, and they're booking, like, 70 bands on one day.
Christ on a sandwich.
Mm.
So, I don't know, man. Like, if spending your money on that's your thing, I technically can't stop you, but... I would at least ask you to consider if there's a wiser decision to be made with your money. Yeah, that is a festival lineup, and now we move on from that to the other news topic that concerns the big Sunday headliner, Slipknot. Or whatever remains of them once they get there. So, yeah, things haven't been going great in recent years in the Slipknot camp. There's been a couple notable band departures, like Chris Fenn and Craig Jones. There was the addition of the Tortilla Man, whoever the fuck he was. That last album wasn't necessarily great per se. Hell, even I'm like, I don't get what's going on. I don't understand the point of the Adderall EP. And then there was, of course, all the stuff that went down in the past couple of weeks. So, Slipknot had posted a statement on their social media accounts that read as such. Quote, "We would like to thank Jay Weinberg for his dedication and passion over the past 10 years. No one can ever replace Joey Jordison's original sound, style, or energy, but Jay honored Joey's parts and contributed to the last three albums, and we, the band, and the fans appreciate it. But as ever, Slipknot is intent on evolving. The band has decided to make a creative decision and to part ways with Jay. We wish Jay all the best and are very excited for what the future holds." So, yeah, we have, like, the third firing from the band in as many years. That's not really great. And to make things worse, apparently a few hours after the initial posting, Slipknot decided to delete the post from their social media channels.
But remember, the internet is forever.
Pretty much the same thing happened when Craig Jones was fired. Announcement made, post deleted. Which is really, really strange.
Yeah, and that's the operative word here. Fired.
Yeah, because, now we had this initial breaking news about what happened, but then, a couple days ago, we actually got to hear, Jane Weinberg's side of the story, because he had posted a statement to his own social media channels, basically saying that, like, he was called about this and was completely blindsided by the decision to fire him from the group. Just for context, his last show that was performed with them was at the Hell in Heaven Festival in Mexico sometime in the past couple weeks. So, let me just see if I can find the statement. Ah, here it is. So, in the words of Weinberg, quote, "I sometimes wonder what it would be like to pay a visit to my wide-eyed 10-year-old self, falling head over heels in love with the new and exciting sound and culture, and tell him about the last 10 years. Even on the hardest days, I'd like to think he'd be stoked about the adventure that was in store for him. I was heartbroken and blindsided to receive the phone call that I did on the morning of November 5th, the news of which most of you learned shortly after. However, I've been overwhelmed by and truly grateful for the outpouring of love and support I've received from this incredible community I consider to be my creative and artistic home. This is not the ending to the journey I dreamt of and committed myself to seeing through, not by a long shot. But despite the confusion and sadness, there is something that's provided an equal amount of comfort. For many of you reading this, 10 years ago, we weren't yet acquainted, and now we are. For that, I'm thankful in ways I'll never be able to fully express. I love playing the drums. I'll always love playing the drums. I'll always have a passion for music, art, and creative expression. Nothing will ever change that. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I look forward to creating loud, passionate, and heartfelt music that we enjoy together again. Until then, please know it's been the joy of a lifetime to spend the last 10 years with you, sharing in our love for this special corner of the music and art world. This isn't the end, and I'm thrilled to discover what the future has in store for us. Thank you." So, again, just out of the blue on his end, not really, like, any immediately noticeable prompt or reason why. Just, it happened.
You know, I saw somebody say that given the more atmospheric slash strange direction Slipknot has become, I believe someone said Slipknot's becoming more along the lines of a Sean Crahan, Corey Taylor art project, which is not totally wrong, but I don't think that's what people want out of, you know, Slipknot of all bands.
Like, the two of you could just start a side project. But, like, with the really sketchy firings and all, that just makes all this even more suspect. Like, especially with a lot of the weird interview quotes that Corey Taylor's been giving out as of late, I'm like, what's going to happen? Because, like, I feel like the best case scenario would be if they legit just called it quits as soon as they could. Like, you know, the band had its run, but time to move on to greener pastures. The worst case scenario is that they force themselves to make a new album, and we end up with the Slipknot equivalent of Life is But a Dream. I have one fear. I don't want to think about
it. I don't know what to say about this. Like, all I can really say is that, is this like equivalent exchange for Mike Portnoy coming back into Dream Theater for one drummer to come back, another has to leave?
It's a real monkey's paw situation.
Yeah, because right now, Slipknot fans are experiencing that once in a community where Donald Glover has the pizzas, he walks in, everything's on fire, shit's going wrong. What is happening?
I do not know, and I'm very terrified to one day find out. I guess we'll have to keep an eye out on that.
Lame.
But, yeah, that pretty much about does it for the news. And that just leaves one last thing to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of November 17th, 2023. Starting at the top, there's, for some reason, a self-titled album by the Plain White Tees.
This whole thing?
I guess. There's a new project from Dolly Parton coming out called Rockstar. We have from Earth Gang, the latest EP of their, Earth Gang versus the Algorithm project titled Robophobia. From 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne, there's a collab project called Welcome to College Grove. And last but certainly not least, we have the much anticipated new solo project from Danny Brown with Karanta. Now, it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As, sort of, kind of, now and then, I guess, I don't know, or of Azure. I just pop in whenever I feel like it to talk about things. And the rest of y'all need to, you know, go to bed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Go to sleep.
Yep. Mark, what about you?
As usual, my type of media on all social platforms, and of course, my site, mynightwonderbooks.com. Recently, I did an anime review, and it's on Double Decker. Remember that show? You know, the one that we thought, oh, well, we got to have money, but we got this, but even though it's been 5 years, we got to have money now. Now it's like, what is it, season two in, I want to say, 2028?
Yeah. I still need to watch all of those shows. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on various social media platforms at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at surrealreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good business. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well, so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the website. And yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll be, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until next time, do we have to have a live-action Legend of Zelda? Avi Arad, could you maybe not?